The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, one option is maybe you have a question for me or a topic. Anything you'd like to ask or bring up? Yes, can you?
The question is about noticing that as I continue to practice mindfulness, I'm kind of just getting lost in the moment. And so I, you know, this is something I want to cultivate, being present. It's getting to the point where I guess planning, or I might just need set time for planning, and time management is not happening. So I'm struggling with kind of being here.
So you try to be in the present moment. You said you get lost in the moment. What you mean is you get lost from the moment. Because you go into planning, or you?
No, I am not planning. I'm kind of getting. So in many ways, like I don't want to say it's getting in the way of time management, but it's in some way it's almost like I can't do it.
So if I understand you, some people will do meditation and get kind of calm or settled. But then they find that they can't really engage the certain parts of their mind actively. Is this what you mean? You can't really get interested in planning? Or?
No, I'm having a hard time planning, right? It's almost like I do have an intention to do certain things in the day, and I guess I just kind of go from moment to moment, and then it's almost like I can't plan, or I'm not setting time for planning. I guess I'm thinking, in what way is this related to me being in the moment, being grounded?
Maybe. I don't quite sure what you're saying, but I know sometimes when people are kind of in the present moment, there's so much in the present moment, they don't really give any time to look at the bigger picture and make choices about how to live their lives and what direction to go. They're kind of just floating along.
That's more or less what I'm talking to. Yeah. Yes.
So the few things you might do, and they all require some reflection. So take some quality time to reflect, to think. And you might do it with a piece of paper and just write, you know. And maybe it's nice to do it after meditating. And maybe for you, there are two things you can write about. The first is write a schedule for the day. You know, just make a very simple outline of some of the major things you want to do that day, and when to do it, and see if you can just by doing that kind of simple planning with a piece of paper, it gives you some structure, so that you're not just going to drift around. But you know, it's 10 o'clock. I do my laundry. Mm-hmm. You know, 11 o'clock, I put it in the dryer. You know, just simple things like that. And maybe that gives you enough guidance to not be too lost. And the other thing to write about is to write about what's most important for you. What are the intentions? What's the wishes? What's the most important, the deepest intention that you have for your life? And write about that. And over the days you do it, different things will come up. And then at some point, bring those two exercises together. Given your deepest intention, what kind of planning would you like to do?
Yeah, it does seem to speak to that. As you know, I certainly care about this practice and I'm committed to it. But I also notice how I could be in danger of continuing to be in the moment and wanting to practice, and at the same time perhaps not really been very purposeful in terms of developing my own my ultimate purpose, or really completing that, or becoming focused on it, and in some way there is partly is perhaps lack of clarity.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And lack of inquiry about what that is.
Right. I think that a mindful life is one that also is reflective. So you need to have some quality time where you actually think and reflect about your life, and hopefully you don't do that in meditation. But outside of meditation, I think sitting, having a cup of tea, having a piece of paper, reflecting, talking to friends, thinking about what's important for you, planning, it's a part of a purposeful life like that is a very important part of the overall life of practice.
Mm. Thank you.
And yeah, good. Thank you. Someone else?
Around election time, you were doing quite a bit of, you know, your Dharma talks were about, it seemed, what's going on right now in the world, or some, I'm just curious if you have any new things to say about how you see or are dealing with that, our world situation, our U.S. situation, whatever.
Yeah, when I see what's happening and what's how people are responding, I've been thinking one of the most revolutionary things we can do is not to be afraid. And not be angry. What? That's what this practice is all about, learning how to do that. So everything we teach is learning how to bring presence, mindfulness, care, loving kindness, attention to ourselves, so we understand how to navigate our emotions, our feelings, the impulses we have. And learn how to be free of it, and learn how to how so much of these fears and anxieties we have, and so much of our anger, has to do with an imaginary world. That we're, you know, in our thoughts and ideas, and you can see it. You know, if you sit in you know, the question had to do about what's going on in the world and politics, I guess. So you can see it if you sit down to read the news. You know, you're sitting, you get up in the morning, you have your cup of tea, you're content and happy, and then you sit and read the news, and then in some ways it's a virtual reality world that opens up in front of you. And you know, it has some connection to what's happening out there, yesterday's news, what happened yesterday or something, or an hour ago or something. It has some connection, it's not divorced from it. But your mind starts creating a picture, an idea, puts you in that picture, makes a relationship with you in that event. And because without that, there wouldn't be the fear and the anxiety and the anger. And so you know, as we practice, we begin understanding this imaginary virtual reality world that we start creating in our own mind. And to learn how much of it's an imaginary world that we're responding to in our emotional life can help us to relax and not be angry, not be afraid. And then also hopefully makes us more effective for knowing what we can do and what we should do to make a difference. We don't want to just be passive. But then we don't have to act from anger, don't have to act from fear. So I think it's a revolutionary thing not to be afraid. For most people that I've known, I talk to, who are upset or angry or afraid about all kinds of things, afraid of politics, afraid of global warming, all kinds of things to be afraid of. The fear has absolutely no value. It doesn't seem to do them any good, the people I know. It actually seems to interfere with it. And I think that, you know, some fear is reasonable to have, or some concern is reasonable. But to get caught by the fear is not a very useful thing. So for the people who learn to be free of it, I think it's a revolutionary act, because so much of how, what's propelling people and the polarization that goes on and the politics of spite and anger has to do a lot with fear and anger, you know. And so if we can not come from there, I think that we can be forces of good in a very different way.
I read an article yesterday from a climate scientist at Stanford, and his comment was, you know, to see what was working and where there were, activities that were contrary to the global warming, and that there are good things happening in energy and in many fields. And I thought about that in the context of practice. And I know for me, sometimes it feels like it's an escape into metta and a gratitude practice. But, you know, I actually don't use that word escape. I think it's just a balance for me in practice.
What I hear from you in that statement about what happened is that there's more fear. People have more fear when they feel like they can't do anything, when they feel helpless. And so people who get involved feel a concern about something in the world. And even if their contribution is pretty small, they have a lot less fear. There's people who don't do anything who feel the most fear because they feel helpless. So I think it's really important to actually, you know, find something you can do, even if it's, you know, it seems pretty small. The fact that you're doing it makes a difference emotionally. Okay, well, thank you. So we're going to do 15 minutes of cleaning, and maybe because there's a good number of you here today, I would see if maybe we can have maybe three or four people who have good knees and good backs to go outside. We have this gravel outside here, and there's a kind of a underlayment.